This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Infidels and heathens, I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and welcome to Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. This is the weekend of November 13th and 14th, 2010. This show, Free Thought Radio, is broadcasting in Madison, Wisconsin, and also airing in Atlanta, in Anchorage, in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Monterey, California, and pretty soon, we're probably expanding into another at least 35 more.
Yeah, well, probably next week we'll have an announcement.
We'll announce that. And also, of course, we are podcasting throughout the entire natural universe.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. We are a nonprofit group, and I'll spell that P-R-O-P-H-E-T, as well as a nonprofit financially. And we have been working diligently since 1978 as a national group to protect that Jeffersonian wall of separation between church and state, and to represent the views of those of us, the 15% of the U.S. population that is non-religious. Later in the program, we have a fun guest, a high school junior from Ohio, who got in trouble when his school invited kids to dress up for the theme of Fiction Character Day, and he dressed up like Jesus.
His name is Sawyer Frey. He's very smart. He's an enterprising young man. He's been named the Freedom From Religion Foundation's Catherine Farringer Memorial Student Activist Awardee, and he will be receiving a $1,000 cash scholarship. We'll hear from him in a few minutes.
Yeah, so Brian is Tarani is our producer and engineer. Brian, you were telling us a funny story.
Yeah, I took a road trip last weekend to go up and see my sister's family up in the Twin Cities area. And the trip from Madison to Minneapolis, pretty much one route to get across the river into Wisconsin, into Minnesota. And on 94 West, there's this really big billboard on the left-hand side of the road that's on the left-hand side of the billboard, there's that famous iconograph of the chimpanzee evolving into the human being. And there's a circle around it and slash, anti-evolution image. And then on the other side of the billboard, it said, "In the beginning, God created dot, dot, dot." And obviously some religious group arranged to have it up there, whether they paid for it or not, who knows. But I thought about your billboards immediately when I saw it, because
yeah, we have another place to put them up, huh?
Exactly. It's another one to target, because it was a nice sunny day and there's this great billboard. But the funny thing was that as I'm driving along the interstate and seeing this billboard, this song is what I'm listening to on the radio, and it just seemed, just so impossibly impossible that I don't know, it couldn't be recreated. This is what I was listening to.
Science is real. From the Big Bang to DNA, science is real. From evolution to the Milky Way.
Right there, from evolution to the Milky Way.
Now, who are we listening to?
So this is a great little band, well, actually a pretty big band. They might be giants. They've been around for a long time, but they've had a lot of success in rock, and they've branched out and done a bunch of children's albums, and this is off of one of their kids' albums.
Oh, well, that's a public service.
Well, yeah. Maybe we should play the whole song one of the shows.
Yeah.
That'd be great. And if you want to look it up on YouTube, there's a great video that goes along with it that's
Science
great for
is
kids.
Real.
Science is
it
real.
It sure is. Well, thank you. And we have some news, not as funny as that. We have an update on FFRF's New Hampshire Challenge of Under God and the Pledge of Allegiance. But before we get to that, let's talk about Free Thought in Mexico. You just came back from Mexico City, right, Dan?
I did. I just got back this week from the first atheist conference in Mexico. And I want to say hi to my new friends down there. Saludos a mis nuevos amigos mexicanos ateos del todo el país, especialmente en DF. And I know some of them down there actually listen to our radio show regularly, religiously. A professor of physics, Arturo, listens all the time. So hello, Arturo. And then, of course, Gerardo Romero, who we talked to last week, nicknamed Ramos, is one of the organizers. The president, La Presidente, her name is Diana Sanchez. And then also Antonio Lemus. And then a guy whose nickname is Link. So I want to say hi to all of them. We had a great time. There was more than 100 people there. There's talks about science, about philosophy, about state-church separation.
And what did you learn about the growing population of freethinkers in Mexico?
Well, freethinkers, atheists and agnostics, are growing faster than the number of Catholics. They're still a small minority, but they've had marches and presentations, and the Catholic Church seems to be shrinking. Similar to what's happening in this country, free thought and non-religion seems to be taking off south of the border. So that's something to be proud of. And these hardworking organizers down there really deserve an awful lot of credit for keeping free thought and reason and science alive. So they're going to keep doing it every year. So when I was gone, let's talk about...
Just one other brief announcement before we talk about the Pledge of Allegiance. When you were gone, there was some publicity. We put up some more bus signs, our first bus signs in Ohio, working with a secular student alliance group, Freethinkers Club, who came to us and said that they wanted to see bus signs on their campus routes. And so they chose the bus signs. They chose Imagine No Religion, Sleeping on Sundays, The United States is Not Founded on the Christian Nation, and there's one other message that they liked. And then there are 20 interior bus signs. And the story behind that is that at Kent State University, they happened to have they were endowed with Katharine Hepburn's costumes. And so they have a big museum of her costumes and about her. And so they wanted one of the interior signs that says Katharine Hepburn's message as an atheist actress, that we should be kind to each other. We can't know anything about the other an afterlife. That's all we have. And they were going to censor it, but I put our staff attorney, Rebecca Market, on the phone, and then they relented on that. Huh. So there was a great big color story, I think on the front page, and there's four huge pictures in the Akron Beacon Journal, and we're getting some nice reaction. And we were really pleased to work with these very enterprising college students.
So Ohioans are learning that they're not all Christians in that state. Also, when I was gone, some news came down about one of our lawsuits over the Pledge of Allegiance, and it's a setback. But Annie Laura, you know more about this. Explain it to us.
Yeah, well, a week ago Friday, the United States Court of Appeals for the First Circuit, and that was we're talking about New England, issued a ruling against FFRF's challenge of a New Hampshire statute requiring daily classroom recitation of the Godly Pledge of Allegiance. And regular listeners and freethinkers tend to know that the Pledge of Allegiance was first composed in 1892. There was no under God in it. It was said by generations of school children like that until 1954, when the Knights of Columbus and the family and other religious lobbies got under God inserted into the Pledge of Allegiance, and they tampered with it. And so Mike Newdow, who we've had on the program, who's an emergency room doctor who on the side is a constitutional scholar, has been taking lawsuits around the country challenging things like this. And when he had a loss in California, he said, let's go other places. So we have a family in New Hampshire, FFRF members with children in the schools. And in 2002, after 9/11, they passed a law requiring daily recitation of the Pledge of Allegiance. And although the law says that it has to be voluntary, and there is a Supreme Court decision saying that, so there's no way they could have got around that, they said that pupils who don't participate are required to respect the rights of those pupils electing to participate. They don't say it the other way around. And what Mike Newdow and our plaintiffs argue is that this subjects non-theistic children to peer pressure, ostracism, stigmatism, that they have to somehow be different.
But isn't it just a tiny minority of people in New Hampshire?
Well, and that's a leading question. Today, New Hampshire is the second least religious state in the country. At a whopping 29% of adults in New Hampshire choosing non-religious, according to this very definitive American Religious Identification
Survey. So almost a third, almost one out of three.
A third of the state is being adversely affected by this law. Their children are being told, your parents are wrong, you're wrong, there is a God, and God is tied to patriotism. And unfortunately, the federal judge didn't agree with us. That happened to be Stephen McAuliffe, who's the husband, the widower of
Krista McAuliffe,
who died in the space shuttle disaster, just kind of a piece of trivia for you. And then it went up to the appeals court, and it was a 3-0 decision against us, and we're deciding whether to go into state court, whether to appeal, whether to ask for en banc, because Mike Newdow does not give up.
And what was their reasoning?
A lot of credit.
What was the court's reasoning?
Oh, gosh. They said that the youngest, they said that there'd be many reasons why kids might not participate. They said, for example, that they might have a political disagreement with reciting the pledge or a desire to be different. Well, that might be true at the secondary level, but it is not true of a kindergartner or a third grader. It's farcical to argue that. And they also said that they compared the Pledge of Allegiance to a display on city property for the holidays that has a nativity display surrounded by secular objects, which has been approved by the court in the Lynch decision
Wow. In
the 70s. So they said that, okay, so you have the words under God, and God is religious. They admitted to that. Well, they said it's surrounded by a secular patriotic pledge. And to me, that is...
makes it worse.
That is dishonest reasoning, because school children are always protected more carefully. There's more scrutiny of any law that coerces school children. And besides which, you cannot say that putting under God in a pledge makes it non-religious. So we would like to do something. We will appeal or do something with it. But
should we play the original pledge?
Yeah. So let's prove that God never used to be in the Pledge of Allegiance. What do you have for
us? This is from 1939. The highest constitutional scholar in the country will be reciting for us the original Pledge of Allegiance. And listen carefully to see if you hear the words under God in this 1939 broadcast.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, there you have it. Porky Pig was secular.
They should play that to the kids and have the kids stand up and pledge allegiance to Porky Pig.
And then we'll wrap up the discussion about this appeals court decision. There was one other main point that the appeals court made that I thought was very bogus, which is that they said that the public schools are not obliged to shield individual students from ideas which potentially are religiously offensive. You know, for example, I think they'd be arguing that if you teach evolution in the science room, maybe that offends a creationist, but that's okay. Or if parents are offended for religious reasons that they have sex education and the kids have to opt out, that's okay. You cannot compare a daily recitation of a pledge to that kind of actual scientific or academic instruction, because what our First Amendment says is you do have to shield students from religion fostered by government in a public school.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the First Amendment requires.
And that argument that they're making makes it look like the school is intending then to promote a religious message that might offend some students.
And the message is tying piety to patriotism, and that's making political outsiders of the non-religious and turning them into second-class citizens. And it's wrong. Our country needs to restore the Pledge of Allegiance and go back to the good old days when we had a secular pledge only.
So we'll stay tuned. We're going to decide. Well, we're talking with Mike Newdow. What is Mike saying we're going to do?
We are cogitating about it. We are making a joint decision, but we have a lot of options. So I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio, and we'll be right back to listen to a little bit of Scott Joplin, and you might wonder why that has something to do with Free Thought. And then we'll be talking with a blasphemous student.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio. As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
So what is that music we're listening to? It sounds like a classical piece. Who do you think wrote that piece of music? It was written by Scott Joplin. And indeed, he considered his music, all of his music, to be classical music. That's a little bit of the song Superstition, which was from the opera he wrote called Tremonisha. Scott Joplin, known as the King of Ragtime, we can be quite certain that Scott Joplin was not religious. His early musical career took place in centers of entertainment, not in church. He played the piano in a brothel, as well as in that famous Maple Leaf Club that was shut down due to pressure from local churches. The pastors were ashamed of the iniquitous practices, meaning dancing, that were taking place in that type of establishment. This charge would hound Joplin his entire life. Ragtime was America's first uniquely national style of music from which later styles would follow. Irving Berlin's first hit song was Alexander's Ragtime Band, although that wasn't written in a ragtime style. But Scott Joplin, who was born in Texas, raised in Missouri, didn't invent ragtime, but it was his incredible compositions that propelled that style of music to national prominence, especially after his 1899 Maple Leaf Rag became a huge hit. And then followed by The Entertainer, which is we hear all the time on ice cream trucks, and children love that song. Still popular, Joplin considered all his compositions to be classical and not just popular songs. And indeed, we all enjoy the music alone, even though there's no words to it. Joplin never wrote religious music. He was married in a home, not in a church. His funeral wasn't conducted in a church. A glimpse into his personal views might be found in the words of that opera that he wrote called Tremonisha. The subject is really this African-American community, which, seen by Joplin about a half century later after emancipation, was still living in ignorance and superstition and misery. And Joplin proposed a way out of this condition. He tells his intended audience the solution is education. He doesn't propose religion as the solution. He writes, "Ignorance is criminal. Even the religious characters in the musical refer to the Creator, not the Lord God or the Jesus of spirituals and hymns." The main character in the opera is this woman named Tremonisha. She promotes education, and if she's not like a modern feminist, she's certainly an example of the fact that a woman can be a leader of men, more persuasive than the useless pastor in that story. Hoping to improve her community, she preaches against superstition and trickery. She says to this conjurer named Zodzitrix, "You have lived without working for many years, all by your tricks of conjury. You have caused superstition and many sad tears. You should stop. You are doing great injury." Well, those aren't great lyrics, but it was a great sentiment there. And in many...
Well, those lyrics are okay, Dan, for an opera.
But, yeah, well, for an opera, and the music is fun. But basically, a lot of scholars are convinced he's aiming that at the church. You lived without working. He named the pastor in this musical Parson Alltalk, which is a comical name, and all he does is talk. He exhorts the people to be good. He's totally ineffectual. He can't see his congregation's real needs, and being uneducated, he can't really provide any leadership. This certainly reveals a free thought attitude on Joplin's part. He's championing knowledge over belief. The opera doesn't have any gospel music, no hymns or religious melodies that should have been expected of such a community. Why should Joplin have rejected the church? Well, a lot of scholars are convinced that Scott Joplin rejected religion and the church because the churches rejected what was important to him: ragtime, dance, and the theater. Whatever Joplin's private views may have been, it's clear that his music was not inspired by religion. In fact, he never talked about inspiration. He said, "There's no harm in musical sounds." And that, of course, that reflects the views like David Randolph, you know, that music is just music. Joplin said, "It matters not whether it is fast ragtime or a slow melody like the Rosary." He continued, implying that there's no such thing as religious music or non-religious music. Music is just music, and what great music it is. Scott Joplin, the Freethinker, was born on November the 24th, 1868.
And he certainly lives on.
So stay tuned. After the break, we're going to be talking with a student. What's his name?
Sawyer Frey. I don't know if he was named for Tom Sawyer. We'll find out. He's a blasphemer who was sent home from school for dressing on fictional character day like Jesus. And we are naming him our
Catherine Faringer
Memorial Student Awardee for his sense of humor. And we are really looking forward to talking with him on the phone. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker, and we'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Ed Mercer from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor.
The guest today we have on the phone is from Ohio. He's a junior at Anthony Wayne High School. I'm going to have to ask him which city that is in Ohio. And we are inviting him to be on Free Thought Radio to talk about what happened to him when his school called a fictional character day and asked students to dress up as a fictional character. And I think I'm going to just let Sawyer Frey tell the story, and then you'll find out why we have named him our Catherine Faringer Student Activist Awardee. So welcome to the show, Sawyer.
Hello.
Why didn't you tell us what happened?
Well, for Spirit Week at our school, every week we have it before our homecoming football game and dance. We have dress-up days throughout the week for the students to earn rep for their class. So they dress up each day of the week as a different sort of outfit. And one of the days was fictional character day. And I, wanting to display my unique beliefs, I thought that I could dress up as Jesus because I've been nicknamed that because I have long hair. And I just sort of look like him, I guess, minus the facial hair. So I thought that'd be really funny and interesting. And it was interesting. So I dressed up as Jesus for fictional character day. Unfortunately, my first period class, after being in school a very short amount of time, I was in my first period class and I received a note from the office telling me to come down. And this is about 10 minutes into our very first class. I go down to the office and they talk to me. The assistant principal, Nathan Gawatz, asked me to take it off because people could find it offensive, and we proceeded to have a long discussion about why that was. And I'm not naturally aggressive. I'm pretty obedient, so I, not wanting to cause any trouble, I took it off and went in my car and got a change of clothes, and that was sort of the end of it. I was pretty disappointed that I couldn't wear it, but next day I hear one of my peers sent a report online to a foundation. I'm assuming it was you guys.
Yes, we got this.
About the rights violation, since I had not broken any school rules during that, you know, scene. And you guys, my peer talked to me about it, and I gave him my email for his dad to tell me what happened, and he forwarded me the email he sent. So I contacted you guys then, and from there we just, you know, I answered a few questions, and things have gone out pretty well since then. I mean, for making such a simple statement about my belief, unfortunately, having to take it off because of other people's differing views. But I think it's good that people are hearing about it.
What else did students dress up as that were not so offensive?
Well, some students, it ranged a wide variety. There was, for example, Hagrid from Harry Potter. There was an avatar from the new movie. Well, not year old movie. There were wizards and witches and pirates, even devils, which I found pretty ironic. Seeing as if the devil was fictional, that would be equally sacrilegious as to Jesus being fictional.
That's true, because the Bible says there is a devil, and his name, the Satan, the devil, and he's a real character.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's sacrilegious or blasphemous, too. Well, I think Jesus, a man who supposedly walked on water, and could cure blindness by spitting in people's eyes and so on, and magnified loaves of bread and fishes. Doesn't that seem kind of, that goes along with a magician?
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that. I mean, some people even dress up as, like, workers and army people, even though these, they're obviously not fictional.
So you, I guess that we had a student intern work with you, and she drafted a very good letter, and I don't think we've had a, I don't think we've had a response yet from the school.
What city is your school in?
Our school is in White House, Ohio. It's a small village, about a little southwest of Toledo.
Toledo. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. And now, so why don't you tell us why you thought that, I mean, you dressed up as Jesus as a fictional character. What's your background? What are your beliefs or non-beliefs?
Well, when I was very young, I questioned religion. My parents are not very, like, religiously strict. They pretty much promote me to think for myself. And my dad's an incredibly logical person, which are some traits that I inherited from him. I questioned religion at a very young age.
Because?
It didn't make any sense. I couldn't see why people would assume that there was some great being. And I have no problem with religion, to each his own. But when some people, I see the anger and, you know, wars started over religion and just all the animosity caused by it, I think it's just ridiculous. And I've been an atheist for a while, a few years at least. But I used to just never really think about it.
Well, now you're thinking about it. Now, I know I saw some of the correspondence between Jamie, I think it was, our intern, and you. And one of the things that the school was saying is that you had to take that costume off because you were creating a disturbance. And you can contradict that. Why don't you tell us what caused the disturbance?
Oh, yeah. Well, specifically, people were trying to figure out why I would actually have to have taken it off. And the only thing that they could think of were, you know, from breaking rules in the handbook would be creating a disturbance in a class, which obviously I hadn't done by the first 15 or so minutes of first period. And I have witnesses. They can all tell you that, you know, there was no discussion there about it. But after I was told to take off the costume, there was a lot of talk about it. And I had some friends tell me that almost every class they had that I wasn't in, there was some non-academic talk about how that was, you know, how I would have to take that off, and it was that right, was that not right, and, you know, people were debating about it in some classes even.
So what kind of response? I know you had some people going to bat for you right away, letting us know at the foundation about what happened, but overall, were you getting more positive or negative reaction?
Most of the students agreed that I should not have to take it off. Apparently there was a complaint that sparked the whole thing, but I haven't had verification from anyone on that.
Some student tattled on you?
Apparently, before school started, someone complained about it, but I don't know.
Well, in your mind, that's a fictional character. I mean, the school should respect your freedom of opinion.
Right. I say if it was Historical Character Day, and someone wore a Jesus outfit, no one would have a problem with that,
right?
Just because it's a popular opinion.
Right.
Even though you can't disprove him, you also can't prove his existence.
That
same
is,
effect.
That's an excellent point. Did you make that point to the principal, or did you think about that afterward?
I thought about it afterwards. I'm really not the kind of anti-authority person, so I just didn't want to cause any trouble. Plus, my parents weren't really for me on that issue, so I didn't have a whole lot of support, and I didn't want to upset anyone. I just wanted to make the statement.
Well, I think what you did is make a lot of people laugh, and I know that when we're going to run, you wrote a little write-up about what happened to you, and we're going to run that in our December Free Thought Today.
With a picture?
Pictures of you as Jesus, and we're still waiting for a picture of you not as Jesus. And then
I think
did you? Well, I'll look for it.
Yeah.
And then we will I think it will entertain vastly, at least 16,000 readers around the country. And also, I want to say that Catherine Faringer, for whom the Memorial Award is named, was an octogenarian woman in Texas with a great sense of humor, who was very warm, felt very warm toward high schoolers that were willing to speak out on their dissent from religion. So she would have been vastly entertained and proud of you.
Yeah. She would have been your cheerleader.
Yeah, and you would have really enjoyed meeting her. Very lovely person. So, well, I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker. We are speaking with a blasphemous student, and I'm just saying that facetiously, a very bright student from Ohio, about what happened to him when he dressed up like Jesus on a fictional character day at school. And we'll be right back.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And we have on the phone with us from White House, Ohio, Sawyer Frey, who is a junior at, now let me see the name of the school. Which school are you going to?
Anthony Wayne High School.
Anthony Wayne High School. And he is the 2010 Catherine Faringer Memorial Scholarship awardee this year because of his enterprising and entertaining decision to dress up like Jesus Christ on a day that was deemed Fictional Character Day, where kids at his school were invited to go in costume as a fictional character, and he was sent home, quote-unquote, except that he happened to have a change of clothes in the car. And it spurred great debate in the school.
So I wanted to ask you, since you dress up like Jesus and look like Jesus, I have this pain in my lower back, you know. Do you think you could heal me of that if I asked you to?
I don't know. You'd have to come by and visit.
Oh, you might still have some.
Busy.
Oh, you're pretty busy taking care of people winning football games and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I want to also know, you told us during the break, the school is not that conservative in your opinion, but what do you think is the percentage of students who are like you, agnostic, atheist, non-believer, skeptics, humanists, compared to the rest of the school? What's it like there at your school?
I mean, almost all my friends that I've had have grown to be pretty much agnostic, except for a few. And I'm acquaintances with quite a few questioning religious people. I would say most of the people that are there aren't strictly religious, as in they actually believe everything the Bible says, but rather their parents are Christians, so they call themselves Christians.
Well, that's pretty much true, isn't it, when you're growing up?
Yeah. And there's also the other end. There are a few real, real conservative people that I know.
Yeah.
And somebody who tattled on you.
Yeah, apparently.
Well, I think a simple thing that you did can get a lot of people to sort of questioning, oh, fiction, of course. You know, it's like one of these things you don't talk about until somebody brings it out into the open. And just doing that, and a lot of students, well, you said after class, other classes were just buzzing about what happened to you, thinking that it was wrong. So it's like ripples. I think that little act you did can ripple and affect a lot of lives, and that takes bravery.
Right.
Now, I was going to ask, I know that you don't know what you want to go on to be, you know, what to major in college and things like that. But do you think that you're always going to be interested in free thought and separation of church and state? Is that something?
Well,
that
by now, it's not so much something I pursue, rather just how I live. You know, it's kind of just the beliefs I have kind of form my personality and the decisions I make. But I'm not so much an activist. I don't make, you know, I don't try to make people question their beliefs unless they're close friends of mine, which is just a reaction of being friends with me for a long time. You start to hear things I say and think about different things.
If one of the students who was confused about this action came up to you in the hall and said, Sawyer, why do you think that Jesus was a fictional character, what would you tell them?
I'd probably go on to say that I've done my share of research, and I've come to the conclusion that there is no real physical evidence aside from really the Bible, which, you know, many could claim to be not a verifiable source. But I you know, I might ask them why they do believe him, aside from just, you know, everyone else does. You know, I wouldn't really go on to try to prove that my point was right, but rather that mine's not specifically wrong, you know.
Well, Dan here used to be an evangelical minister, and he turned an atheist, and you've done a lot of debates on the historicity of Jesus, haven't you, Dan?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Why don't you briefly summarize what some of those arguments are?
Well, scholarship distinguishes between the actual historical Jesus and then that Jesus character that's in the New Testament. And virtually all critical Bible scholars agree that that Jesus in the New Testament, that cartoon character with all these exaggerations, was definitely a fictional person. And if there had been maybe some self-proclaimed Messiah named Yeshua, he's totally lost to history. You can't prove that he didn't exist. But if that character did exist, there were other messiahs. You know, there was a Theudas and a Judas and others at that time. There might have been this Yeshua, but that character was not the character that modern Christians are worshiping. So you're absolutely right, Sawyer. That New Testament Jesus character is a legend, and many, many scholars are coming to the conclusion that he was also a total myth. He was a fictional character.
Well, there's nothing, as Sawyer said, there's nothing outside the Bible that substantiates that he ever lived, isn't that right?
In the first century, yeah. In the second and third centuries, people were writing stuff, but that was second and third hand way, way later.
So there is quite a bit of scholarship out there for students like Sawyer or the people who want to debate him to dip into, isn't there? There are lots of even books on it, and the Jesus Seminar, and what else?
In fact, most of the scholarship questioning the historicity of Jesus comes from Christian scholars. You don't have to go outside of Christianity. The critics, those who know the Bible, have given us non-believers plenty of ammunition. So, do you think there might be an interest in your high school, Sawyer, to do what other high schools are doing and form a group, a club, call it what you want, free thought, skeptic, atheist, agnostic, or something? Do you think there's enough students there that might want to do that?
I actually think that is a possibility. I do think so. Given, you know, enough people that I know, I could pick out of my handful of friends already a small group of people that'd be interested without even, you know, going around asking people.
And they couldn't deny.
Faculty-wise, I don't really know.
Oh, you don't know if you would find a faculty advisor?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, if you could, then I'm pretty sure it could at least gain enough momentum to exist.
Yeah, and say, if you can't get a faculty advisor, then FFRF can write another letter of complaint on your behalf, because we have always argued to the principal, if you don't have a faculty person that you can appoint or who will do this,
then the principal should do it.
In the principle of free speech, free association, free expression. And that's really what, in your little article that you write for us, you point out that they were suppressing you. I mean, this was a suppression of your rights, and that's always a significant problem.
And we could put you in touch with other high school groups. We had some speak at our conference a couple weeks ago, the West High School Free Thought Club here in Madison, and there's a number of others around the country. You could maybe contact them and compare notes and see what they're doing.
Did your principal say anything to you after this was over with? Have you ever had an apology or any kind of friendly word from him?
No, nothing. not from any faculty. It has not come up again at all.
They should apologize.
Well, cold shoulder, or just they ignore it?
I don't see them in the halls much anyway.
Yeah. Well, we think it was a very thought-provoking bit of, I guess, hallroom guerrilla theater that you engaged in. And I've never heard of anything like it. I think it's totally unique and original what you did. And it deserves an award. So thank you for speaking up for your own point of view, not being intimidated. And maybe we'll be hearing more about you in the future. So we've been talking with Sawyer Frey, White House, Ohio. And thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And we can look for his picture and his article, right?
Yes, it will be in the December issue. That November is still just getting out, so people will have to wait about 4 weeks, and then they can read all about Sawyer Frey and see what he looked like in person as Jesus.
Thank you. We also want to thank our producer and our engineer, Brian Tarani, who we heard earlier in the show. And we want to thank our announcer, Buzz Kemper. If you were at our conference a couple weeks ago, you met Buzz Kemper. He was doing the sound for our annual convention. This show, Free Thought Radio, is recorded in Madison, Wisconsin. And you can go to, if you want to hear archives, or if you want to sign up for the podcast, go to ffrf.org/radio. You can sign up there for that and listen to all the shows of 240 shows now that have run. And we'll be announcing that we'll be expanding the market of this radio show to about 35 more markets next week.
So look at our website under news and go to Free Thought Radio, and you can see if we'll be in your area soon. You can ask for more information at ffrf.org. Phone 1-800-335-4021. If you join FFRF, which is a tax-deductible donation, it supports Free Thought Radio's broadcasts. It supports our state church litigation. It helps pay for scholarships for students like Randall Sawyer Frey. And, of course, it supports the work of the separation between church and state that we do. Tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.